Welcome back, everybody, where Paul has put down the controller and picked up the microphone. Here we are.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Paul, do you remember at the end of yesterday's episode, it just kind of ended?
Yes.
Sound familiar?
Yeah, what happened there?
So we use this nice little app called VoiceMeter, and I don't know what happened, but the app crashed at the exact same time there's a mute button right here. I pressed it because I had to sneeze, and I was trying not to sneeze on the podcast, and I pressed that button, and VoiceMeter locked up, which meant I had no audio, and yeah, I don't know, but that's, and I didn't feel like fixing it, and it was the end of the show, and that was it. It was that.
Actually, since you're bringing this up, because I would have forgotten this otherwise, I should also tell people that my daughter did get her driver's license yesterday, since I know that I left that hanging as well.
Which is scary.
Yeah. Yep. It's horrifying.
Thankfully, I'm not anywhere near those roads yet.
Anyway, that's good news for me and my wife because it means we don't have to drive her back and forth to work for the entire. I just froze there. Do you see that?
Yeah. That one's all on Skype, though.
This thing feels so fragile.
Because it is. It is a glass bridge built on top of pine needles.
Yeah.
And a strong gust of wind is always blowing.
This isn't in the show notes per se, and I'll try to keep this short, but I had posted a photo a few days ago of my screen, which looks like that fuzz you used to get in the 1970s when a TV station would go offline.
Yep.
And I'd seen it happen on two different computers as people kind of inquired on Twitter. The thing that they do have in common is integrated Intel graphics. So I decided to look into whether or not I could upgrade that. And HP has a utility for this purpose. It's not working on this computer. So I went to their website. The last time the driver that HP has you download is from 2016. It's a brand new computer. So I went to the Intel website, and they have a utility that will scan your computer online and then tell you what you need. And it actually identified three components that needed updating. And one of them was the graphics driver. In fact, that driver is from June, I want to say June 2nd. So it's from this month. I thought, great.
Real news. Real early.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And then I got this message I don't believe I'd ever seen before.
Oh, man. Uh-oh. You are you're getting about 10 packets per hour coming across. I wonder what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me see if I took a screenshot of this. I guess I didn't. Well, it basically said something to the effect of the PC maker is not allowing me to upgrade to this version of the driver.
Oh, wow. That's not good.
So I said, screw that. And then, you know, this is if you know the way, you can go into Device Manager, you can search it, you download the driver set manual, you expand it, go find the INF file that applies to your system, 64-bit in this case, and you can install it, which I did. So great, success, right? Well, I guess, I don't know, I did this yesterday, it hasn't fuzzed out on me yet, but the problem is I'm recording this show today, I'm recording Windows Weekly, that thing often goes over 2 hours, and I have to tell you, talking of fragile, I'm a little nervous that it's going to, you know, screw up right in the middle of the show. So we'll see what happens.
Here's a fun factoid for you. Mm-hmm. So you're referring to that like fuzziness on a screen, like an old TV with the antenna.
Yeah.
You know what causes some of that fuzz?
What is that called though? That screen?
You know? Static, I think.
Static. Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what causes some of that static?
No.
Cosmic background radiation from the Big Bang.
Yeah, I think in this case, what it was caused by was bad Intel driver.
Close. Basically the same thing. Realistically, I mean, they're all just...
It's this cosmic karma.
Here's some cosmic karma for you, Paul. Does this... this is probably a generic mock-up. Might be kind of hard to see here, but did you look at the phone that they actually... This is the MSN News app, by the way.
I didn't until you pointed it out, but that does look suspiciously like a Lumia plastic-bodied low-end phone.
Yeah. Yep. I was thinking that. That's the only reason I put that image back there. Is like, man, that thing looks familiar. And anyway, so Microsoft rebrands MS News as Microsoft News, and they made a big deal about it, but they really just put some lipstick on an old pig. And
Yeah, it's a spit shine at best. I used to use that app pretty heavily. Back in the Windows Phone days, it was pre-installed, I believe, or it was something you could get as soon as you checked for updates. But it was always pretty clean and mostly devoid of ads and, you know, was okay. Google News ended up being a lot better, but then Google News just updated recently, and that app is terrible. And so I've been looking around for news, a new news app, and I actually use something called Smart News, which I actually like a lot. It has lots of ads, and a lot of the sites that it goes to do like this autoplay video thing, which of course brings the whole thing to a halt. But the thing I like about it is that most articles support an instant, it's like called Smart View, and it's just, it's like a reader view in a web browser. So you swipe over and it gets rid of all the ads and all the crap. And I actually really like that. Anyway, I looked at the new Microsoft News today, and they offer you better customization options as far as the tabs you see at the top, which I like. And then the fonts are slightly updated. But this is the—I mean, it's yeah. MSN News. It's exactly—it's the app. It's just the new version of it. You know.
Yep.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah.
And then two quick things here. Well, one quick thing I should say: Microsoft opened new. Or well, that's a bold lie. Microsoft is going to open new data centers in Norway in 2019. Paul, how exciting is that?
Ooh. Yeah, that's neat. We're trying to decide. We're going to Sweden this summer. I think I've already mentioned this. And we usually do some kind of a side trip. My original goal was to go to Russia because there's this no visa overnight boat thing you can take from Stockholm and make go to St. Petersburg. But it's a 2-night trip in both directions.
Oh,
so it's like, it would be like 6 days, 4 of which would be spent on boats. And we're not going to do that. So we've been looking at other side trip potential ideas. And, you know, Berlin, my kids have not been to, would be pretty good, but there's places that are kind of close, like Oslo, Norway.
Yeah.
Copenhagen, Helsinki. Mm-hmm. These are all like an hour flight. There's a place in Estonia called Tallinn. Hmm. I might be pronouncing that wrong. I've never heard of it, but it's, that might be where we go because it's kind of, it used to be Russia until 1991 and it's still got a lot of Russian stuff going on there. But you know, we looked up, I guess my point was, sorry, was that we looked up these other places like Copenhagen and Oslo, Norway and Helsinki. And you know, I'm sure they're all pretty in their own right. But like, if you're already in Stockholm for like 3 weeks, going to these places is like you're in Boston and you go to Providence.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's kind of the same thing. It's just, you know, I don't know.
I recommend the boat thing.
I've not insulted anybody there, by the way, but no. I don't know.
You should do the boat thing. You're more likely to never come back, and I approve of that.
Well, we are going to do some boat thing. Like, I still there's a Nokia part of me that still wants to see Helsinki, although it's a surprisingly long, I think it's like a 16-hour boat ride or something.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's crazy how long these things take. And that's the thing. Like, you can fly in an hour, and they have low-cost airlines and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I got to talk to my friends about this, but anyway, Norway just came up because we're trying to figure out this, the side trip thing, but I don't know.
And how soon you leaving? You're leaving like 3 weeks or something like that.
It's actually, I guess it's like 1 month from today. I believe it's July 20th.
Well, I'm going to circle that date on my calendar. And,
yeah, so the middle part, I'm going to take a week off. And it's roughly, I would say, the 30th to the 7th. You know, July 30th to August 7th.
That'd be perfect because my birthday is the 30th. Now, there's nothing I want more in life than to not have to talk to you.
Well, I'll be sure to send you a happy birthday video from Sweden. It'd be some kind of drunken...
Yeah.
Viking thing.
Doesn't have mountains, I don't want to see it. I'm just telling you now.
How about boats? How do you feel about boats?
I like boats. I'm a big fan of boats.
Sweden is a collection, I want to say, 14 islands, like 57 bridges or something. It's pretty.
Yeah. It's also pretty far north. I wonder.
Yeah, so we're missing the worst part of that as far as light goes. We looked this up, and this is going to be wrong, but like the sun sets at 10-something at night, I think, and rises at 11 something at night. It's some crazy, you know, 4 or 5 hours of whatever light of darkness now, as opposed to 4 or 5 hours of light, you know, in the middle of the winter.
Isn't the summer solstice like tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yeah. Yep. Yeah. So today's probably,
when
let's
does
ask
spring
Google.
End?
I'll have everyone's do this. Hey, Google. What time does the sun set in Stockholm today? It's answering in the other room, so I didn't get the answer, but everyone else did. For some reason, it picked up over there. Unbelievable.
Technology. It's great until it's not.
I guess that's the preference. We use the little device, not with the phone I'm holding in my hand. AI.
Speaking of AI, one of the funny things I thought was they were talking about for this news thing. By the way, they have curators who are going to hand curate this news stuff, not that fancy AI stuff that they promote at every other sentence in their PR blogs.
Yeah, let me give you a little bit of advice, Microsoft. This free app that no one's going to use, you might want to put less people on it and more AI. just a thought. No?
Yeah, I don't know. And then you wrote something up today about Microsoft already has its head in the clouds with gaming.
Yeah, so I finally put together that thing that I was thinking about that we kind of discussed yesterday about Xbox. And I went back and I watched the beginning and the end, the kind of the non-game parts of Microsoft's E3 keynote or press conference or whatever. When you do that, the keynote gets down to about 3 minutes. It's really short. And I'm struck by how little hardware was discussed and how little they talked about the advantage that they have today over the PS4 Pro and how little they said about the future, although they thought to mention it for some reason. There's also a great Polygon article that looks at everything Microsoft said about this next generation of Xbox consoles. And what's striking about that to me is that what they're really talking about, Microsoft, that is Microsoft, is their upcoming Xbox service, right? Mm-hmm. People are so fixated on the console part of it, I think we're losing sight of the script, which is that the real future here is in the cloud. And that when Microsoft talks about backward compatibility and how important it is to bring that stuff forward, yeah, obviously the new console is going to have it, just like the Xbox One X does. But what they're really talking about is the future and how it's going to come to the cloud service as well. And what that means is that your investment in Microsoft/Xbox games is going to persist across hardware, which it already is doing, right, as you go from console to console. But that reaches a really limited market. They're talking about a market potential of 2 billion people, rather, whereas the size of the Xbox console market today, just the Xbox One, is roughly 30 million. So it's almost an order of magnitude bigger, at least the opportunity. And I think that's the important thing. I believe that Microsoft only revealed that they are making more consoles because they wanted to soften the blow of the real push, which is the cloud service, right? Like, of course they're going to do it. It's going to be like an incremental thing. It's going to be like the X was to the original one. This is the transition. But I think the real focus is on the other stuff. I'd also, a couple of years ago, 5 years ago, whatever, if you had asked me about Microsoft and Xbox, I would have made the argument that they should drop this business. They should sell it off. Spin it off, whatever. And people remembering that I said that because people are bitter will come to me and say, hey, Paul, you said that, blah, 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 but look what's going on now. And look, this is a big push. And, my response to that is like, yeah, well, first of all, it's a new CEO. It's a new strategy. They actually are getting out of the console business, guys. Like, they have found a way for gaming to make sense in the new Microsoft, which is as a cloud service, which is basically the future of the entire company. When you look at it in that context, yeah, actually, gaming does make sense for Microsoft. Gaming hardware doesn't make sense. You understand they've never made money on hardware and that they have literally lost all three generations of consoles in which they've competed. I don't mean lost like came in second. I mean came in last. And it's going to happen again with this generation. It's just the way it is. Sorry. And this is how they can emerge on the other side as a potential powerhouse. And this is... there's a minor version of this when you look at what happened to Microsoft Edge, but it's interesting to me that with Xbox, they failed and in failing had to change. And what they arrived at the other side was something that was better as a product, but also better for the people that use it. Right. And it's interesting. If Microsoft's mobile platform had taken off in any meaningful way, Microsoft Edge would never have come to Android and iOS. There would have been no reason for it. And it's interesting to me that they've created, it's weird, it's like a superior web browser on mobile doesn't mean anyone's going to use it, but it's interesting how that thing became better as a result of this other thing failing, you know.
Oh,
Xbox
dang it,
is
clicked
more
off.
Profound. What did you do?
I clicked off the stupid window.
Oh.
So these little things stopped working for a second. But Paul,
so do we have to go back to Microsoft team or Microsoft news and start over from the beginning? Please tell me that's what I have to do.
I'm actually secretly hoping there's not an echo, and if there is,
yeah, too bad.
Yep.
yep.
But Paul, riddle me this. You said that they've lost all things, but I thought they did pretty well with the Xbox 360.
Came in last place. They did sell over 80 million units. But the Wii outsold, I don't remember the exact figure on the Wii. Mm-hmm. It was 140.
Yeah, the Wii did sell pretty
crazy.
Well.
Wii dominated, but Microsoft got off to an early lead. They did release a year earlier than the PS3. But if you look at the actual sales figures, PS3 actually outsold the Xbox 360. But, you know, the interesting side result of all this is that, and of course this generation is not even close. They're going to get sold like 2-1. And I expect the Switch is just going to blow by them as well. It has caused them to rethink things, right?
Yeah.
And this backward compatible stuff is really gamer-centric. Xbox Game Pass, super gamer-centric. Xbox Play Anywhere, super gamer-centric. And those last two things are the baby steps toward this Uber service, whatever they're going to call it. They might just call it Xbox Game Pass, right? Where you improve the compatibility to other kinds of devices, and that's going to expand out dramatically. And then you improve the availability of games over the internet. And they're not right at streaming yet. I realize that. But one of the things they did talk up at E3 was this fast start technology where the games that you download over Game Pass are going to, you know, get running more quickly. Obviously, the goal there is to get them to be fully streamable.
Yep. You got anything else for today, Paul?
You know, I've been working on that Microsoft Launcher series. I do have another installment I was just working on. Actually, it's about Microsoft Edge, so it kind of ties in what I was just talking about a little bit. I would have had my Huawei MateBook X Pro review today, but I ran the battery life test overnight, and I got up this morning, and it had stopped, and I don't know why. So I started it again, and I was thinking, I don't know how long this thing will run, but I don't know, maybe tonight or something I can post it. It just mm-hmm. stopped again, so I'm going to have to figure that out. I don't know what's happening over there, but of course, when it happens, you have to recharge the damn thing, and then that will be up eventually. How about you?
I wrote up a small thing on Petri this morning if anybody's really interested. It's very minimal at best. Just how Microsoft's evolved. Some of their branding have gone from Windows to Microsoft 365 and then gone from Azure for cloud services to formally calling it Microsoft Cloud. Just a small kind of evolution of how that stuff's happened. I don't know. I spotted it or whatever. Spotted it's probably the wrong word. But when I was reading Microsoft's announcement for their cloud services in Norway, they very specifically are calling everything deliberately Microsoft Cloud as opposed to Azure. Yeah. So.
Yep.
So that's that. What is today? Wednesday? I don't even know what day of the week it is. Today is Wednesday, folks, if you've lost count and are losing your mind slowly like myself.
Or as my brain would call it, Sunday.
But we'll be back here tomorrow doing all things that we do every single day. And I hope you have a lovely Wednesday.